Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host and producer, bringing in the program again as we normally do with our theme song, No One Else, by Gregory Stafford. What do you consider to be some of the best ways to test different products out to see if they would really, really work good for us Homo sapiens? Oh, hold on. Let me put a pin in that for just a minute. Let me just share this with you. I know a number of you were looking forward to getting the 411 on how to build our dream team. I know I mentioned to you last week that there are ways to go about the business of empowering our team members to truly flow with each other, to move forward together, ways to go about helping our team members get unstuck when forward movement, forward momentum seems to be bogged down. Talking about building teams that are effective and dynamic, even taking it to the point where the leader is empowering the team members to help the leader develop strategic plans. We're talking about building our dream team. And Dr. L. Diane Bennett is our special guest who will be sharing that information with us. She will be giving us the 411 on how to develop our dream team. However, ladies and gentlemen, we won't be able to do it today due to several difficulties. We're having to reschedule. And so once we get that date settled, I'll definitely give you an update to let you know when we will be getting together to discuss how to build your dream team. This is a discussion that I really believe can help, whether we're talking about a for-profit business, a not-for-profit organization, a religious organization, you name it. And you know what? As strange as this may sound, you know, there are so many principles that have to do with building businesses that can also be used in building our families, strong family structures, and vice versa. That even for the sake of building up family, you may want to listen in. So again, when I have locked down the new date for my conversation with Dr. L. Diane Bennett, that's when we will discuss building our dream teams. I will definitely let you know what date, what time. My apologies that we weren't able to do that today. I mean that. My apologies for that. I was really looking forward to all of us being able to tap into her wisdom and gain that knowledge, but we'll let you know when. So, in the meantime, back to our question about how you think is best for us to have our experts testing stuff that can be maybe various kinds of medications, various types of devices to see how well they work in humans. You think that there should just be enough, thorough enough research that people can just go ahead and the experts, the scientists, can just go ahead and conclude how that product, how that medication will work in human beings just based on everything they've been able to gather just from computer studies, running model after model after model, putting it into a simulated human body. Now, I'm talking about this now. I won't be surprised if someone starts doing this. A simulated human body and running the real McCoy in the simulated human body in order to determine how that medication, how that device will work in an actual human body. I'm putting it out there, and I'm pretty sure now that I put it out there, it's going to happen. But in the meantime, what do we do? I know that one of the ways that scientists and others have been doing this for years, as of course you all know this, animal testing, whether they're using mice or other creatures. And here's the thing. An estimated 26 million animals are used every year in the United States alone. Roughly 26 million animals every year just in the United States for scientific and commercial testing. That's why you heard me saying medicines and devices. Animals are used to develop medical treatments, determine the toxicity of medications, check the safety of products destined for human use, and other biomedical, commercial, and healthcare uses. Research on living animals has been around for a while, too, quite a while. We're taking a look at this courtesy of ProCon.org, and we're going to take a look at, well, the pros and cons. Those who are saying, yes, animal testing is good, let's continue. Those who are saying, no, animal testing should be discontinued. I'll be honest with you, there have been times when I've said, wow, man, that just seems so not good. But at other times when I've asked myself, what other sure way is there? Check this out. This is nothing new. And so I'm pretty sure the debate is nothing new either. Research on living animals, that is, to do or not to do. It's been practiced since at least, what would you say, 1902? Would you say at least 1880? When do you suppose research on living animals began? That's what we're asking. 1902, 1880? Would you say 1790? Would you believe since it's been going on since at least 500 BC, 500 years before the birth of Christ, they're saying at least that long. Proponents of animal testing have their reasons of saying, yeah, we should do this. Opponents have their reasons for saying we should not be doing it. So let's start to take a look at those pros and those cons. Again, with the cons saying animal testing should be discontinued. The pros saying we need to continue with animal testing. What is your take? What is your view on it? Well, I'll tell you what. You know how I like to ask us to do this? Let's, you know, as much as we can, listen open-mindedly. Let's think through this objectively. And when I say that, again, I don't necessarily mean with a readiness to change our view. That's not what I mean. You may be pretty much settled in your view. That's fine. But let's at least truly hear what both sides are saying about this issue. We may end up changing our minds. It could be that we'll end up being strengthened in our position. But let's just truly hear what each side is saying. We'll start that pro-con rotation in just a few.